Experts have warned the UK is losing the battle to eradicate giant hogweed, an invasive species described as the country's most dangerous plant. It's been around for a long time. When we were kids, we used to go and play down the river.
What is it exactly,
hogweed? It's a massive sort of tubular thing with great big leaves and stuff.
And the danger being?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but when we were kids, we used to go down to the river and loads, masses of it. We used to hack it down with big sticks, which was fun at the time. But we didn't know how dangerous it was. Despite long-standing efforts to eradicate it, it's gained a foothold across Britain, with horticulturists cautioning that recent flooding and warm weather may have aided its proliferation. Originally hailing from the Caucasus, the carrot family member is thought to have been first introduced to Britain in 1817, when Heraclium giganteum seeds were sent from Russia to Kew Gardens. There's a Genesis song about it. The Return
really?
Of the Giant
Is that
Hogweed,
on that album
yes.
I still haven't listened to.
No, it's on the nursery crime album, not on the Trick of the Tail. While initially favoured in ornamental gardens due to its pleasant appearance and impressive stature, reaching heights of more than 5 metres, it's been illegal to grow the plants in gardens for decades now, as a result of it being highly toxic. So here, stay away from it. Its poisonous sap causes sunlight-sensitive burns and blisters, which can scar for years, and can induce blindness if contact is made with the eyes, leading Mike Duddy of the Mersey Rivers Trust to dub it the most dangerous plant in Britain. I thought that was Robert Plant. While it typically appears alongside waterways, experts warn it's also springing up in gardens and on verges. A plant tracker reports hundreds of sightings across all 4 UK nations, as far afield as Inverness, Pembrokeshire, County Londonderry and Kent. The plant, which is easily confused with benevolent cow parsley, thrives in warm weather, and a chief horticulturist of the Royal Horticultural Society warns recent flooding may have carried seeds downstream to new locations. The beast has purple blotches and coarse hairs on its stems, said Guy Barter, an expert. In most places where you see it in summer, it's enormous. It's a very pretty plant, but I would strongly advise anyone not to grow it. It can cause some very nasty injuries, which take a long time to heal. Time for the Swings comedy, and one of many appearances by the moon on the mighty bush.
Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, Mars, Venus, George, Chrissy. That is a list of my best friends in order. Order of preference. He's so bright and milky white, shining down upon the ground. He's so bright, milky white, shining down upon the ground. Everybody look at the moon. Everybody see in the moon. The moon is white, it's milky white. Everybody look at the moon. I did a song. Jupiter, I did a song. You ain't got one. Oh, I feel sick. I'm the moon. I quite like to... I'm lonely in the moon, but not lonely so much, but the loner. The one who likes to do his own things. I do quite like a bit of company, but I think for the moon it's good to have your own spice. The in spice. I got my own spice. In spice. If you are a moon, then you don't have a mirror, so you have to, if you want to see your face, you got to have a little look in the rivers. I had a look in there. I'm a flipping the beautiful. I'm all a handsome, and then the smooth white moon, and he's all, I haven't got any eyebrows, but I think that only gives me a bit more of an edge.
Haven't you ever seen The Mighty Bush?
No.
Oh, you haven't loved. Look it up. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but I wish they'd bring it back. It's so funny.
Will do. Today's quiz. He was born on this day in 1951. It's his birthday today. He was a drummer for a group that scored hit singles such as Street Life, Love is the Drug, Dance Away, Angel Eyes, Jealous Guy.
Roxy Music.
Yeah.
He was the drummer?
Yeah.
Andy Mackay?
No. Oh, or maybe he was a drummer. He's a drummer. Paul Thompson.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Question number two. She had a hit on this day in 1989 at number one, UK singles chart, with her second solo number one hit. It was, of course, Kylie Minogue, written and produced by Stock Aitken and Waterman. What was the song?
The Locomotion.
No.
The second hit after... Put Your Hands on Your Heart.
Correct.
And Tell Me.
Well, very
it's
good.
It's All Over. I wouldn't mind playing that one, but it's not the last one on the list.
Well, no, I wanted to play that one, but...
But what? We've got something
Mother,
even...
yeah, no, in the
Mother?
Zooms with Mother,
Mother,
she's been banging on.
Oh, dear.
Well, they've invested in an Alexa, so you get hear my mother saying, oh, it works. I say, play, and then she says, oh, what song is it? And she can't remember it, so she starts humming it. So poor Alexa's really confused.
So you've got your mum to hum a song.
But what's really weird is for the last week she's been saying, oh, maybe you could play this song. It's a real feel-good song. Don't forget to play it. Don't forget to, and of course I've forgotten to play it. But on this day in 1967, the Supremes scored their 10th US number one single with this track. It made number six in the UK. It was the last single to be released as the Supremes. So from then on, they were known as Diana Ross and the Supremes. What was the song?
Is it Nathan Jones?
No.
Was it Stone
Love?
Oh,
think of my mother. Think of her music taste. Feel good
think
song.
Think of your mother. I'm always thinking about your mother. I think of nothing else. Oh, I don't know. Come on. It's a bit.
The Happening.
The Happening. Okay.
So there you go.
Right. 1 out of 3 today, then?
Yeah, just to keep mother happy.
Yeah.
Always can't believe you'd have preferred Kylie.
Well, I've actually got a very, very good remix of that song that I sometimes play. So,
okay.
Yeah, but we'll play The Happening instead. Morning, Mummy.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, all right?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Not too bad at all.
Making everyone breakfast this morning, are you?
I wouldn't say that, no. Working
Come
quite
on.
Hard. We've got this new Rude Health muesli, which has got a lot less sugar than the likes of Alpen and stuff, which is rather pleasant, it has to be said.
Rude Health? What does it do? You open the box and it shouts knickers.
I wouldn't say that, but the fruity version is very pleasant. You should try it.
And how much do you pay for that?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But it's a nice experience in the morning. They're saying, actually, a lot of people who are in lockdown, obviously there's huge negatives and medical concerns impact to the economy, saying some people have begun enjoying a nice breakfast with their family, which they haven't done for many years.
So, I mean, you know, you could save yourself some money by just buying a huge box of oats and then mixing some dried fruits and nuts into it.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Ooh. Is that what you do in your house?
That's what I do here.
Well, for fellow workers?
No, I don't have time for breakfast at home, so I have it here.
Oh, it's nice. You've got a pleasant job, isn't it?
Well, one is entitled to eat something during the course of the morning.
That is true. That is very true.
OK, markets all on the back foot again yesterday. I mean, everyone's worried about a second wave of coronavirus, as we've been speaking about over the last few days.
Yeah, very right. US stocks tumbled yesterday after health officials warned against the premature reopening of the economy and as investors digested the latest round of dismal economic data and grim outlook reports coming through from regional Fed offices. S&P 500 extended losses into the closes as Anthony Fauci, the nation's top medical infectious disease official, become very used to him, said reopening too quickly could set states back. Central bank officials said the virus outbreak and the partial shutdown would risk massive bankruptcies and could create a lasting scar on the economy. S&P 500 and the Nasdaq both down around about 2% yesterday. Means we are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 64 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 148 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 53 points.
He's going to be fired then, isn't he?
Well, there's been somewhat of a fractious relationship between him and President Trump. It's quite an interesting sort of dynamic that plays out there, but so far has been able to maintain his office.
He's crossed the line now, though, surely.
Well, President Trump, of course, very keen to get the US economy up and running. But as you say, concerns around the potential of a second wave been impacting progress, even on the where we've seen a calming of some of the hotspots on the coast, even of continuing to maintain lockdown levels there.
Record $738 billion budget deficit for April in the United States. I was just thinking, what's going to happen if there's a natural disaster like a hurricane somewhere? Who's going to pay for that?
It's true. It's just the numbers are quite extraordinary. There's no doubt about that. And the reality is that we'll be paying off these bills for some time to come, and our children will probably be paying off these bills for some time to come as well. It's been an extraordinary support mechanism put in place, but it comes, of course, with a price, and that is to debt and deficits.
Have you told little Henry that?
Yeah, actually, he's doing maths this week, and the focus is on money. But we haven't got to the debt and the deficit yet, but I think that'll probably come Thursday, Friday.
But on a serious note, I mean, you say who's going to pay for it, but they seem to be able to rustle up money sort of any time they need it, just print a bit more.
Well, that's true. I mean, interest rates are very low. There's demand, of course, for the safety of government debt from individuals and from institutions, and central banks are printing at a rapid rate, which is helping to feed that demand through asset purchase programs. But the reality is, as I say, the price will need to be paid. What does this mean? Austerity, lower public spending levels in the future, and higher taxes.
And also the prospects of a spike in inflation down the road as well.
Don't see that as an immediate risk, obviously, over the next 6-12 months, but beyond that, you can anticipate that could well be a problem. Lots of our clients have been talking to us about what they need to do to try and hedge themselves against that, and we've been talking about investing in inflation-linked bonds as a good opportunity to do that. But also, we think gold is a store of value, and an important diversification method is well worth increasing your exposure to the precious metal at this stage.
Okay, it doesn't seem to have gone up that much, though. I mean, it's been hovering around $1,700 for a few weeks now, hasn't it?
Gold is up around about 11% year to date. You still see investors putting money into exchange traded funds. Investors are holding their most in exchange traded funds in terms of gold in more than 12 months. So you do see that flow coming through. I think alongside that, the fact that we do have low stroke negative interest rates means the opportunity cost of holding a zero interest bearing asset like gold is reduced quite significantly. And we do know, of course, that in times of trouble, that investors do tend to gravitate towards gold, and that's likely to be an important process of diversification and allow, I think, investors to balance that off against other assets within their portfolios, particularly equity markets and also fixed income, where we see some opportunities there.
Now, all countries are facing a massive slump in growth and huge numbers from the unemployment. What's the situation like in France?
Well, French economic activity improved only slightly in the later stages of the virus lockdown and won't snap back to normal levels in May, despite the lifting of some of the restrictions. This is according to a survey from the Bank of France that was released yesterday. The central bank's measure of lost activity compared with normal eased to 27% in April. That was down from 32% in March, as some companies resumed low levels of production. The Bank of France continues to suggest that the assessment for the economy's capacity to bounce back is somewhat cautious, and the rebound suggests that it's going to take some time to filter through, given some of the issues that have been put in place and the restrictions that continue to be there. The French government has increasingly warned that recovery will be difficult. Some companies have said won't survive. There's no doubt jobs will be lost despite the massive government support. For May, they expected the recovery in activity will be significant in terms of size, but will be far from making up for the losses that we've seen over the course of the past 2 months.
And finally on to the UK, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, who I think has been the absolute star of the show as far as UK government ministers have go in this crisis.
Yeah, he's done a very good job, hasn't he? He's sort of been open, he's been transparent, and some innovative, I think, solutions put in place have actually been copied by other officials around the world. Extending the UK's furlough programme through to the end of October, as the government seeks to ensure as many jobs as possible survive the coronavirus lockdown. No changes to the current scheme to the end of July, after which more flexibility will be injected. So for part-time employees, a bit like yourself, who go back to work, you see the wages split between the state and the company. 7.5 million people are currently participating in the programme in the UK. The estimated cost of that scheme, they said, will be £49 billion through the end of June. If you look at the Office for Budget Responsibility estimates, the government package of tax cuts, wage support and grants, extra spending support the economy, to what we've been talking about a bit this morning, they estimate £140 billion. Plus, you've got to throw in the £330 billion worth of loan guarantees. So again, another example of where these bills are continuing to rise as they put these emergency measures in place to try and get us through this very difficult period.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar this morning, trading just below 123. Euro dollar coming in 108.5. You're going to get €1.13 for your British pound this morning.
All right, you're going to have a bowl of Rude Muesli. Go on.
It's very nice. Have a good day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potts and Barclays. It's...
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
A 17-year-old schoolgirl has died in the Bay of Villefranche-sur-Mer. The accident occurred on Tuesday afternoon when a group of young girls were walking by the water's edge and the victim was hit by a wave. Emergency services intervened early afternoon but were unable to revive the teenager who died at the scene. Six coronavirus patients have left intensive care in hospitals in the Alpes-Maritimes. The patients were discharged on Tuesday, bringing the number of intensive care patients down from 21 to 15. Figures show that the number of intensive care patients in both the Alpes-Maritimes and the Var is at its lowest since March the 23rd. Meanwhile, three new deaths have been registered in the Alpes-Maritimes, bringing the total number in the region to 227 and 219 in the Var. No new COVID-19 cases were reported in Monaco on Tuesday, and two more patients were reported to have recovered. 96 cases have been declared in the Principality. To date, five patients are being treated by the home monitoring system. On a national level, the toll of the coronavirus epidemic in France was up again on Tuesday evening, with 348 additional deaths in 24 hours. But the number of patients in intensive care continues to drop, according to the France's health minister. Meanwhile, four new small clusters of the coronavirus have been confirmed in several regions of France. The news comes as the country attempts to lift lockdown measures to stop the spread of the disease. Experts have warned that vigilance is the essence. Professor Didier Raoult has claimed in an interview with Le Parisien that the COVID-19 epidemic is coming to an end in France. According to the head of Marseille Hospital, the slowing down of the virus in Marseille is due to the fact that they have carried out systematic testing and treatment on patients. Professor Raoult says only one case of coronavirus was detected on Monday in Marseille, despite 1,200 people being tested. He concluded that while a few cases will appear here or there, it no longer represents epidemic dynamics. The mayor of Mougins, Richard Galli, has signed a municipal decree making it compulsory to wear a mask in areas with a high population density and a high number of visitors near sensitive establishments and local council buildings. The town hall produced a map of the sectors concerned by the new measure, which can now be found by going to the Riviera Radio website, rivieraradio.mc. The town of Lorgues in the Var is distributing masks to residents at several points from today until Friday, May the 15th, from 9:30am to 6pm without appointment. You can find further details on the website www.lorgues.fr. Meteo France has issued a yellow weather warning for high winds in the Var and the Alpes-Maritimes. The warning, issued at 5am this morning, will remain in place until 3pm this afternoon. A new app has been launched to help businesses in Monaco and their customers. Users of the Carlo app can buy a gift voucher to be spent at participating businesses in the Principality. Until May the 31st, for each euro spent on a gift voucher, the Monaco government will add a sum equivalent to 10%. At the moment, there are 46 participating shops and restaurants, and over 2,000 people have signed up to use the app. For details of how it works, see their website at carloapp.com. Finally, an agency of Century 21 Lafayette transactions in the region has launched TokTok on TikTok. Benjamin Amandou of Century 21 Lafayette transactions decided to use the mobile video sharing application, a hit with young people, to keep in touch with customers, sellers and buyers in a less formal way than with a classic video visit. While the platform is not unfamiliar to the real estate business in other parts of the world, it's a first in France, and after just 3 days, the video has already been viewed by more than 10,000 viewers.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Football tackling will be banned, pitches disinfected and players restricted to groups of five when English Premier League clubs return to training. Official protocols sent to players and clubs say that social distancing must be strictly observed and training sessions will be restricted to 75 minutes. It's hoped that training can resume on Monday, with the possibility of matches starting again behind closed doors sometime in June. What are they going to do, mop the pitch?
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, suppose so. Formula One Mercedes have said they will take into consideration the news that Sebastian Vettel will be leaving Ferrari at the end of the season when deciding their driver lineup for 2021. And Vettel will leave Ferrari after failing to agree a new contract, with reports saying he was not prepared to accept a reduced salary. Mercedes have won the last six Constructors and Drivers' Championships and appear to have a settled lineup of Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. Carlos Sainz and Daniel Ricciardo are the current favourites to fill the vacancies at Ferrari, with suggestions that Vettel might not be able to secure another drive. Oh dear.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Rugby Union World Rugby has ruled that a try can no longer be scored by grounding the ball against the posts. The sport's global governing body says that the increasing size of post protectors for safety reasons has made it difficult for teams to legally defend the area. The change comes into force with immediate effect. Not that there's any rugby going on at the moment. And in racing, the Derby is set to stay at Epsom this year after the local council ruled that the event, along with the Oaks, can be held behind closed doors at the course. The Jockey Club said that if the application was not approved, then the race would have to be staged elsewhere. Epsom and Newell Council has now approved the application, meaning the big race and six others on the card, including the Oaks, can be staged on the same day behind closed doors on a Saturday in July or August.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaral Seam in the VAR, there are gale warnings in force. The general situation of depression 1,006 millibars over the Southern Alps and a depression 1,003 millibars over the Gulf of Lyon. Winds are easterly, force 7, picking up to gale force 8, then dropping to force 2 to 4 this afternoon. The sea is rough, decreasing to slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,008 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5, northeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, there are gale warnings in force. Winds easterly, force 7 to gale force 8, dropping to force 3 to 5 this afternoon. The sea is rough, becoming slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6 northeasterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
You said it's raining when you came in.
It was.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't get wet this morning, but it has clouded over the last hour or so in Monaco, and also just looking at the webcam at Saint Isidore, gazing towards Monaco and Nice, it's pretty cloudy as well. There could be some thunder around this morning, maybe even a bit of hail, but after that, the sky should clear somewhat, partially cloudy, but with that moderate to strong easterly wind gusting it up to 70 kilometres an hour across the region, but that'll start to drop this afternoon as well. Top temperature 21 degrees, over no lows 15 degrees on the coast, 13 degrees inland with cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday, partially cloudy tomorrow with some rain overnight into Friday, mainly fine after that with highs of 19 to 21 degrees. Finally,
a retired doctor in the UK has bottled it on the £1 million question, but still pockets £500,000 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I would have known the answer. So would you have known the answer for £1 million a question about historic motor races? The crucial final question asked was, which of these iconic races was held first? The options were A, Le Mans 24, B, the Monaco Grand Prix, C, the Indy 500, or D, the Isle of Man TT.
And you knew the answer?
I did know the answer.
Was it the Isle of Man TT?
Sorry, is that your final answer?
No.
Do you want to phone a friend?
Monaco Grand Prix. I don't know.
Can I just have your final answer?
Isle of Man TT.
You would have been, yep. Correct. Well done. Well,
and
apparently,
you knew that because you used to go there all the time.
Yeah, my nan lived on the on the TT races track.
Well, on the track.
I think everybody did, didn't they?
Didn't she get run over?
A few times. Anyway, Mr. Townsley, who said he will use the money for a trip to Niagara Falls, used his final lifeline to phone a friend, but his chosen helper sadly did not know the answer either. Explaining his decision to pocket the $500,000, he said, "I don't know the answer and it's just too much money to lose. Having got so far and gone on a whim, I think it would be foolish, and Niagara Falls is looking very nice at this time." But agonisingly, yes, he said he would have said the Isle of Man TT races, which of course was the correct answer.
Okay, it's Jeremy Clarkson doing it now, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Tarrant gave it up.
He did, a while ago.
Had enough of the coughing major.